I remember him when he wasn't a doctor.
Oh, it's always Jim.
Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise for him. Thank you,
Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
That was weak. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I said it is good. I mean good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. To be. It's good to be. Hey, it's good to be the house of the Lord. Did you catch that? It's good to be the house of the Lord. Amen. He's in there. Glory to God. Amen. Glory, glory. Real quickly, I just want to drop a few things in your spirit. Can you handle that?
Hallelujah.
Amen. We've been talking about that it's now time. It's now. It's your turn. It's your season. Amen. It's your turn. Amen. I have found out that so many times the body of Christ, when God begins to deliver a prophetic word, we put it off as one day in the sweet by and by. God, if that's you, it'll come to pass. The devil is a lie. Hear me. Amen.
All the spirit-filled people go home?
Yeah, I think they did. Amen. You are in your now time. That means every prophetic word that God has ever spoken to you, it is time for that thing to begin to come to fruition. It's time that you begin to see the word of the Lord being moved and activated in your life. Stop putting off the things of God for one day. As long as you keep putting it off and putting it off, you'll never see it. Come on now. There were those in the Bible, if you read your Bible, that said they saw the promise, but they had to see it afar off. They never got to possess it. They never got to obtain a walk in everything that God had decreed and declared in their life because they kept putting it off. Amen. It's your time. Get that in you. It is your season for the promises of God to begin to come to full fruition, for you to begin to walk in it, experience it, and have it right now. It is your turn. Come on now. Amen. You got to talk to yourself. Don't look at me like you don't. Come on now. You talk to yourself about everything. Amen. You got to begin to talk to your spirit man and say, it is your turn. It is my time. I will see the promises of God fulfilled today. Come on. When did God say, when is faith? So why do we keep putting him off? Hello. Why do you keep putting him off when he said, now faith is? Now. Now. Right now. Your time. Amen. One of the words that was spoken also I heard was that word shift. And I want you to know that it is time that the body of Christ begins to shift the atmosphere around about you. Amen. Catch this now. See, we must shift our thinking in order to position ourselves properly during this now season. How many of you realize that any time God began to decree a thing, he also gave them instructions on how to go about it. There's a proper way to begin to respond to the voice of the Lord, to the prophetic word of the Lord, to every promise that he's given you, whether it's prophetic here, come on, or you and God by yourself. Amen. It is all the word of the Lord. Amen. And we have to know in every season of life how we need to properly respond. Because if we don't properly respond, you know what happens? You're going to watch God do it for everybody else and then wonder why it didn't happen for you. Come on now. See, I refuse to be left out of the things of God. And when God begins to speak something, I get away with him and I say, okay, Father, what's your instruction for this season? Amen. So let me help you. One of the things that you're going to have to do in this now season is you got to begin to guard your words as never before. Come on, church. Your words are weighty. Whether they are speaking life or they are speaking death, contrary to the word of God, your words are weighty. They will produce something. Come on. So if your circumstances and situations are not lining up with the word of God, go back and check yourself. What am I saying in this now season? Guard your words. Amen. The second thing is acknowledge God. Oh, my goodness. Every day God gives you breath to breathe, acknowledge Him.
Yes.
He said, acknowledge me in all your ways, and then He'll do what? See, I don't have to wonder, and I don't have to run to the next meeting to get another word to find out what kind of direction do I need to be going in. Come on now. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. He is in there. Come on now. Amen. You got to start trusting what God has put on the inside of you. He gave you everything, all of Himself. He didn't withhold anything from you. When He did it, He did a complete, finished work.
Yes, yes.
It's finished.
Yes.
Amen. We got to acknowledge God in all our ways. Amen. And thirdly, and we've been hearing this throughout the camp meeting from night one, pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know what happened to the church, Pastor, but when you brought me up in the church, we prayed in the Holy Ghost. There were times when we didn't know what to do in a service, and we'd stop and pray in the Holy Ghost until we had some kind of unction, amen, to begin to function and things begin to happen the way God wanted it to. What happened that we quit praying in the Holy Ghost? Come on, amen? You got to stir yourself up. Stop waiting for your pastors to be the one to stir you. You stir yourself up. Amen? Amen? Amen. Guard your words. Acknowledge God. Pray a lot in the Holy Ghost. This word shift means it's a change of direction, a place, or a position. It means to begin to shift gears. Come on. Some of you have been stuck. You've been an idol. Uh-oh. I know not. Lord, help them. You've been stuck, and He's saying, shift gears.
Yeah.
Come on, shift. Tell somebody, hallelujah, shift. It's time to shift. Amen. See, I found out that from the very beginning, God, when He began to look at the earth, He caused a shift to happen. He looked at it. He didn't like it because it was dark. It was void. So He caused a shift. You know how He did it? He spoke to it. Amen. You begin to shift the atmosphere around you when you begin to align yourself with the word of the Lord. Mm-hmm. When you speak it, it's creative power and ability. Creative power and ability. That's why in this season, it's very, very cautious that you guard your words. Come on. It is. All right. So He begins to talk to situations. In Acts 2, we heard about this tonight. They were all in one accord when suddenly what happened? There was a shift. There was a shift in the atmosphere. There was something that began to happen. They said it was as a mighty rushing wind. Amen. You're waiting for your suddenlies, and God's waiting on you to shift. Come on. Hallelujah. You gotta cooperate with God. See, He's not trying to keep anything from you. He's trying His best to get it to you. You got to cooperate with Him. Amen? So we got to begin to shift. Amen? I also found out that even when Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, there became another shift. Come on. Sister showed up and said, Jesus, now you decide to come. It's a little late. The situation is dead. Now you decide to show up? Oh, y'all look at me so holy like you don't ever think God's a little late on stuff. Now you want to show up in power and might. My brother's dead. Come on. Amen. And I found out anywhere Jesus went, He caused a shift. He caused the atmosphere to become like He is. Amen. So that tells me anywhere I go, the atmosphere around about me has got to shift.
Got to change.
It has no choice. It must shift. Amen. Jesus began to look on the situation with Lazarus, and He spoke. He spoke to a dead situation, and He commanded it to begin to live. Amen? And He told Lazarus, come out of that dead place. See, I realize tonight that many of us have faced some terrible, terrible stuff in our lives. Things that seem like it's completely dead and undone. You feel like you've blown it. I deserve the mess that I'm in. The devil is a lie.
Hallelujah.
There are consequences to your choices, but God is a merciful, loving God. Amen. And if you'll just run into Him, amen, and begin to acknowledge Him and begin to be picky about the words that you choose, amen, I'm telling you, you will see God deliver you out of some situations. Come on now.
Amen.
Amen. We've got to be able to come to a place that we begin to worship and magnify Daddy God in the midst of.
Yes, yes.
Come on. Amen. Do you remember the story of the blind beggar, Bartimaeus? I love Bartimaeus. This story. Bartimaeus. Here he is. He's laying at a gate. Been there for years and years and years. Amen. But he got word that Jesus was coming. He was fixing to show up. And I love it because Bartimaeus at this time, inside of himself, he said, I've got to make a shift. This is not going to be a normal day that I just stay sitting at the gate begging. Some of you have begged and begged and begged. Some of you have even stopped talking to the Lord. It's so painful and it hurts so bad and it's so undone that you don't even want to go there. Blind Bartimaeus, he's sitting there and he realizes, I've got to properly respond because the man of God, Jesus, is fixing to show up. And I love it because when Jesus passed by, I often wondered, why was he drawn to Bartimaeus' cry? Why didn't he hear the cries of everybody else? Why was Bartimaeus the only one along that gate that got healed that day, delivered? And I loved it because he had a holy desperation. He didn't care what he sounded like anymore. He didn't care what it looked like anymore. He come to a place that I'm going to get what God has got for me, and I'm not going to let it pass me by. If everybody around about me wants to stay in their junk and their stuff, you go right on ahead. But I am getting all that the Father has for me.
Yes,
he began
yes.
to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't care what his praise was going to sound like and what it looked like to anybody else. He was refused to be denied. He was at a place that he refused God to come and by his presence and him stay and remain the same.
Hallelujah.
Come
mercy,
on,
Lord.
Where's
mercy.
Your cry? Where is your cry tonight
mercy,
that you
Lord.
Refuse to stay the same?
Hallelujah.
You refuse to look at the situation the same dead way, day after day,
yes.
year after year. Come on now.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, Son of David, he didn't care. He positioned himself. And then the other story about the pool of water. One time a year, the angel would come and stir the water. And whoever got in that water first got healed. Now, I've read this story over, and oh, it amazes me. How many people knew the timing, knew the day, knew the hour that it was going to, they all had to gather there. Now, if I had been there, see, I would have got me a couple sisters that didn't care what it was going to look like, if it offended anybody else, and I would have told them, now, look, girls, this is the way it's going to work. This pool is going to stir just one time this year, and I refuse to stay the same way. So as soon as you hear a little bloop, you better kick me in. Come on. Amen. Some of you are too dignified. Come on. You have cradled your mess for so long. Come on now. Amen. And you become angry with the Lord. And yet God is saying, if you'll just position yourself, if you'll just cry out one more time, if you'll come to that place that you really are desperate. Amen. That I'm telling you, there is something the power of the Holy Ghost will do that will shift everything in your life. It'll begin to come in order the way it's supposed to be.
Amen.
Amen. See, I found out a long time ago, I've been through too much stuff. See, you all have a false assumption of men and women of God that we don't go through stuff. Oh, Lord, help us. But when you've been bombarded from one tragedy after another tragedy after another tragedy and you still continue to run into the Lord, I'm telling you, there's something. You get to a place Amen. That you no longer care Amen. If sister or brother so-and-so is offended anymore.
Hallelujah.
Come on. Amen. Amen. The one thing I love, one of the things I love so many things about my pastors, but one of the things I loved about them is in all the years of staying with them, they always allowed me to express my love, my adoration, my desperate moments, my crushing moments to the Lord. They never suppressed it. They never suppressed it. You all have something so valuable here, so precious here. And yet I see so many of you staying stuck. Come on. There's no reason for it. We just sang a worship song. It's freedom. I love that song. Freedom is in this place.
She likes that song. She loves
it. This is true. I really, really like that song, but I love this man.
Hallelujah.
He told me if I introduce him good, I get to go home. This is very important.
Hallelujah.
Amen. This season, it's time to shift. Tonight, Amen. Make the shift. Do what's necessary. Amen. Bust out of what's been the norm. Amen.
Amen.
Come on. Bust out of the norm. So this season, guard your words. Acknowledge God. Come on. Amen. What was the third one?
Pray in
the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Whole lot. Whole lot.
Amen.
Pray in the Holy Ghost until you have the word of the Lord to come out of your mouth. Come on now.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Pray in the Holy Ghost until.
Glory to
you. You have your suddenly.
Sura
Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. You know, blind Bartimaeus was on the roadside begging when he heard about Jesus. That was the gateway to his miracle. And see, we don't have to have something spectacular to happen. We just have to be positioned in the right place at the right time where Jesus is passing by. And we can begin to open up the gates and see what God wants to do in our lives. Amen. And every time, listen to me, there's something that takes place when you praise the Lord. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people. So when we begin to praise, the word inhabit means He sets up a throne in the midst. And so God sets His throne in the midst. And when He sets a throne up in the midst of His people, He's so big. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. He's so big, He consumes everything. That means there's no room for problems. There's no room for sickness. There's no room for disease. And so when He sets up His throne, because we're praising Him, everything else has to take a back seat. Everything else has to leave the room, glory to God. Has to leave your life. Because God's on the throne, amen? And when you begin to praise Him, you create an atmosphere where God begins to step out right in your midst so that He can do His God thing. He can do what He really wants to do, glory to God. So we ought to give a praise. We ought to be releasing praise to God all the time, amen? I know sometimes we don't feel like doing it. I remember not too long ago, there were some things that happened in my life, and I'm driving down the road, and there was some praise music on, and the Lord said, praise Him. And I thought, I don't want to praise. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm just trying to be real. I thought, I don't want to praise You, Lord. I don't feel like praising. But I know better. So I said, praise You, Lord. Come on, that's it. You got to start somewhere. You got to be obedient. It's like, praise You, Lord. And you know, again, I talked about the pony motor last night. You know, you start, praise the Lord. I don't want to feel like it, but praise You, Lord. Glory to God, I know what I'm praising You for, but praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, you know, something begins to stir in you. And there's a shift that takes place in your spirit. Next thing you know, you can't shut me up, glory to God. I want to praise the Lord, amen. I just feel like praising Him. Why? Because He's so good. He's God, glory to God. Praise God. See, I have a sister friend. She says, I thank God He woke me up this morning in my right mind. Come on now. If He woke you up this morning, glory to God. If you woke up this morning, you ought to be praising God. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Now I want to do a godly exercise. Everybody do like this. And just kind of, now reach over next to the next person. We're going to pinch them real good. We're going to see if they have breath. I didn't tell you to do it yet, glory to God. See, you're jumping the gun. You stole my thunder. I was going to give them a chance to praise the Lord to see if they have breath. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are they alive? Huh? I want to ask you, look at that person sitting next to you. Are they alive? I've been told, now listen, this is very serious. I've been told that 1 out of 3 people in America is ugly. 1 out of 3 people. So look at the person on your left. Look at the person on your right. If they ain't ugly. Hallelujah. Just lighten up a little bit, folks. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Pastor Laverne this morning began to just step out and begin to sing. I like it when God just says, you know, stop what you're doing and do something different. I like that. It always messes you up, but I like it. We were worshiping the Lord one day, and the Lord spoke to me. He says, I want to hear the people say, oh, how I love Jesus. I just want to hear my people say they love me. And so we began to sing it, glory to God. But I heard this morning, as she did, there is a fountain. And when we were doing that, I heard this song come up in my spirit. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, I'm standing in the need of prayer. And you know what? I found out when we're standing in the need of prayer, He's ready to meet our need, glory to God. He's ready to move on our behalf, glory to God. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Say glory.
Glory.
That's for you, sis.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Oh, it's going to be one of those nights. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go with me tonight, if you would, to Luke. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Glory to God. Aren't you glad that God's good?
Amen.
He's a good God. Amen. He's not mad at you.
That's right.
I said He's not mad at you. The best thing the church could do is get rid of that mauled attitude. You know, God's going to get you for that. Just get rid of that attitude. God's already got you. Come on. He's not mad at you. You're His sons and His daughters if you know Him. Amen. And you know, He wants to do good by you. Come on now. And so you just need to realize He's not mad at you. You can go ahead and get free. You can go ahead and have a good time. Amen. Just have a good time. He's, you know, He already approves of you. He's already accepted you. You're accepted into beloved, glory to God. He's already seated you in heavenly places. As far as He's concerned, you've made it. Somebody say, whew. You've made it, glory to God. I know, used to be in the church, you know, we'd have sisters that do this. Brother Jim, just want to give a testimony. Brother Jim. Brother Jim, you know, I've been serving the Lord for 20 years, Brother Jim. It's been so hard. The devil been running me around all week. Bless His holy name. I just want you to pray that I'll be able to hold out. I'm going to say, no, don't hold out any longer. Let go, glory to God. That's a problem. Quit holding on and let go, glory to God. Quit holding on to the old. Give me that old-time religion. Give me. No, let go of the old-time religion and get some Christianity in you, glory to God. Get some faith in you. Get some spirit life in you, glory to God. I'm glad I heard that right. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Freedom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Refresh, you see. Refresh. God just wants to refresh His people. Come on, some of you have been pickled in prune juice long enough. You need to know how to smile, glory to God. You need to know how to laugh. I've got a friend that wrote a song. It's just entitled, Ha Ha, Devil. That's what it's entitled. Ha Ha, Devil. The devil does everything he can, and yet you're still going on. Ha Ha, Devil. Come on now. The devil hit you one time. Ha ha, devil, you're still here. The devil sold your finances. Ha ha, devil, you're still here. And some of you doing spiritual warfare. You had a flat tire on the way to church. Ha ha, devil. Come on now. The devil with the devil. Come on now. He's defeated and ugly. He's defeated and ugly. Oh, help me, Lord. Glory to God. Luke chapter 3, are you there? Hallelujah. Listen. Verse 1. Now, I don't want verse 1. Let me just tell you what's going on. John is baptizing people in the River Jordan. And some folk come to John because they've heard about what's going on. They want to get in on it. And John's refusing to baptize just everybody. He wasn't like some of the church folk. You know, some people will baptize everybody walking in the church. John says, no, I'm not going to baptize you. You a generation of vipers. Who had forewarned you to flee the wrath that's to come? In other words, bring forth fruit meet for repentance. In other words, show me by your lifestyle that there's been a change in your life, that you've turned to God. And then as he begins to talk that way, he begins to tell them some things that are going on. And he says this. He says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And I think all of us ought to be a voice crying in the wilderness. All of us ought to be helping prepare the way of the Lord. Oh, okay, let's stop right there. Everybody say, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Bring it up, Doc. Well. Now, if you'll throw them out every once in a while, I won't have to stop and do that again. I'm a responsive preacher. In other words, if you respond, I'll preach. If not, I'll slow down and teach. Let the people know that our God who dwelleth in the third...
Hallelujah! Amen!
Glory
to God!
So here John is baptizing, and then over in verse 14, it said the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, what shall we do? People were asking, what do we need to do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And as the people were in what? What was the people doing? What was the people doing? What are you doing? What did you come to church for? What are you doing here? Come on. The people were in expectation. In Acts chapter 3, when they went up, Peter and John went up to the temple to pray at the ninth hour, very significant hour, because God told them over in the book of Psalms, it records that God told them in the wilderness that at the evening time of the evening sacrifices, I will come down and meet you at the door of the tabernacle. And God's power just came down. He overshadowed the tabernacle, and there he met them. And that's why the psalmist said, let my prayers be as the evening sacrifices. Let the lifting of my hands be as the evening sacrifices. So Peter and John's going up at a time of the evening sacrifice because they have a promise in them that if they'll come at the right time, that God will begin to meet them there. You're in your season. You're in your right time. That if you've come together with a sense of expectation, God will meet you where you're at. And He will change everything around about you. Glory to God. So the people had a sense of expectation. I wrote down that song this morning, but I also wrote down this. Hallelujah. I guess I didn't look right down. But what are you looking for? Or what are you looking at? I was driving down the road on my way to the church, and I saw a church sign. And I just kind of looked over at it, and it said, what are you looking at? And that's the same reaction I had. I started to laugh, and then I thought, that'll preach. What are you looking at? And as I thought about that this morning, I also thought about when the prophet went and he ran from Jezebel because pressure was on him. And you know, he just got to the place he thought, I got to get away from this. I can't take anymore. And he already was at a point that he was ready to surrender his ministry. He said, you know, God, I'm no better than my father. Put somebody else in my place. And so he runs off and he comes into a cave. And the first thing God says to him, you're right? No. The first thing God says to him is, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And we need to know what we're looking at, and we need to know what we're doing here. What are you doing here? What are you doing in the kingdom of God? Huh? What are you doing in the kingdom of God? What did you get saved for? What is God got? What did He see in you that He thought He could use? And then what are you looking at? But Brother Jim, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. I've been through everything. Everything that could happen bad to me has happened to me. Gloom, despair, and what are you looking at? Get your eyes off the problem and get your eyes on your solution, glory to God. Get your eyes off what the enemy's doing and get your eyes on your Savior, glory to God. I don't know what's wrong with the church. The church can tell you what the devil said. The church can tell you what the devil's doing. But very few people can tell you what God has said and what God is doing. God wants to create an expectation in us so that we'll begin to move out in faith and receive the things He has for us.
Amen.
I know that you don't understand this, but I was praying one day about our church and I said, Lord, what's wrong with the church? Because we go everywhere. What's wrong with the church? Why is it you have to prod people to get excited? Man, I'm saved. Happy is the man whose sins are not committed, are counted against him. I'm saved. I thank God every day for my salvation. No, I mean, I thank Him for it. Because if anybody deserved hell, I did. Come on now. And I thank Him for my... It's just surreal to me today as it was all those years ago when I accepted the Lord. And yet, I said, Lord, what's wrong with the church? What's happened to the fire? People talking about being Spirit-filled. You can't get a holy ground out of them. Now, I'm not pointing at anybody, but if the Buster Brown fits... So what's wrong with the church, Lord? What's happened to the church? Because used to, you'd have to run the people out of the church when the service was over. We had more services after service than we did during service. Well, I saw God move more after everybody went home than while we were together. In fact, I used to tell people, I said, you know what? You went home too early, man. We had a service after you left. God was moving. And they said, that always happens after I leave. I said, what does that tell you? Oh, stick in the mud. So what's wrong? I said, Lord, what is the problem with the church? And the Lord spoke to me just as quickly. And He says, my people has lost their sense of expectation. They've lost their sense of expectation. They're doing the church thing. Because it's the thing to do. If I'm going to appear good, if I'm going to appear righteous, if I'm going to appear holy, if I'm going to look saved, then everybody knows you have to go to church. Listen, have to go. When I was raising my kids up, they said, Daddy, do we have to go to church? I said, no, you get to go. And of course, as long as you're in my house, you're going to get to go. But see, we get to come together. God has set aside a time that we can come into a place that we can forget about everything else that's going on out there, and we can strengthen one another, and we can be encouraged to one another, and we can meet with God together. And when we come together, we ought to say, you know, God's called this meeting for a reason. Because the Holy Ghost never called a meeting He didn't intend. He called this meeting, He wants to do something. He wants to say something, glory to God. He wants to manifest Himself. The manifestation of the Spirit. The manifestation means that He will exhibit Himself and He will express Himself. And so when we come through the door, we ought to be expecting God to say something and we ought to be expecting God to do something. But you know what I've discovered? We get what we expect. If we don't expect nothing and nothing happens, we can't be disappointed. We got what we expected. Nothing. Oh, excuse me, I'll preach over here. If you don't aim at nothing, you won't hit nothing. If you don't have a sense of expectation, how do you know if you missed anything or not? Come on. We used to sing a song, you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. You won't leave here like... So what happened to that? What happened to that belief, we won't leave here like we came? I've been run through the mill today, and I just got to get to church because it's where I get refreshed. It's where I get revived. I've got to get into the presence of God because God has something to say to me, and all it takes is one word from God that'll change my situation. So I've got to get there, glory to God. And when I used to do like this, don't talk to me about being late. You couldn't help yourself. Huh? I make plans to get there a half hour early. I don't want to be on the back row. Now, if you're on the back row, that's all right. I'm not saying nothing about you. I'm just saying I don't want to be on the back row. That's me. I don't want to be there. I want to be up close. I want to get spit on. Yeah. I want to get right up there close, glory to God. I don't want to miss nothing. Because I tell you what I've done lots of times. I've stepped up to the platform, and it's already been up here. The anointing's already been there, and I just step right into it, glory to God. And so that you get up there close, it may just get on you. Yeah. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? A sense of expectation. So what are you here for? What are you expecting God to do for you tonight?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, Brother Jim. I just come because there's camp meeting. No. Well, thank you for your faithfulness. But we need to have a sense of expectancy. Expectancy is more than wishing and a hoping. We've got to come to a place that we're willing to do whatever it takes to get God to move in our lives. See, God says He will do some things. He says all the promises of God are maybe so. And here's what it actually says. All the promises of God are yes. And therefore, we say amen. We agree with Him. We are harmonized with Him. God, You said the promises for me? Amen. That means, God, is it Your promise for me to be healed? Amen. You mean it's Your promise for me to be delivered? Amen. Glory. It's Your promise for me to be full of joy? Amen. Glory. All the promises, not some of them. And the brother said today, He doesn't select one and skip another. He wants all of us to be blessed. Glory to God. And isn't it wonderful, man? Just think about it. Out here in cow country, we were coming in tonight and I heard cows mooing. I thought somebody coming in with pain. Actually, where is he? I don't see him. I saw somebody walking in and I knew that as coming in the door, and as they were coming in, I heard that noise and I thought, my goodness, do I have to go pray for him? Because it sounded like somebody moaning deeply. I thought, oh man, they're really in pain. You're right out here in cow country. You don't have to go to Tulsa. You don't have to go to Florida. I mean, God will meet you right out here, glory to God. If you just have a sense of expectation. Oh, if I could just get to Benny Hinn. Well, you don't have to get to Benny Hinn. Get to the God of Benny Hinn, glory to God. Get to the Holy Ghost and expect Him to move on your behalf.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Have a sense of expectancy. I've been saying at the church here recently. In fact, just last Sunday, I took the pulpit and I said, Oral Roberts used to have a song that's just going over in my spirit. I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on my way, glory to God. Are you hearing me? I don't care about the devil. We always will say, yeah, but there's not too many of us here, or we don't have the finest, or the devil is doing this, or the devil is doing it. Who cares? Listen, the Bible says, when He's talking about being born again, born of the Spirit, and Nicodemus says, how can these things be? Here's what Jesus says. The wind blows where it listens, and you hear the sound thereof. Now, you know what that's saying? He's saying you can't tell where the wind comes from or where the wind's going. Now, in our century, we have built big buildings, and the wind has come along. And you know, those buildings are right in the way, and the buildings can't stop the wind. The wind will just blow those buildings down. It'll blow over the buildings, blow around the building. You can't stop the wind. Look at somebody and say, can't stop this. You can't stop the wind. And then Jesus makes a remarkable statement. So is everyone who's born of My Spirit. Can't stop us, glory to God. can't stop us. You may not know where you're going. You may not know what's going to happen next. The enemy may try to put up an obstacle in your way, but he can't stop you. Glory to God. God's got something good he wants to bring in your life. Glory to God. And it doesn't matter what the enemy's doing. Can't stop it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can't stop it. So what are you looking for? What are you expecting? You hit what you aim at. That's why I love that scripture where the psalmist said, "One thing do I desire of the Lord, that will I seek after." I'm focused. I got my mind set. My mind's right. I can't be aiming over here and looking over here. I can't be distracted by what's going on in the world. I can't be distracted by what the devil does. You know, the devil's just like the three little pigs. I'll huff and puff and blow your house down. He's always blowing. He's a big blowhard. He's always threatening. If you listen to what he's going to do and all his threats, you'll never hit your mark. He'll stifle you. He'll keep you from fulfilling the vision that God has for you. You've got to come to a place and say, "No, my mind's made up. I'm not going to be detoured. I'm not going to be derailed. I'm not going to be hindered. I'm not going to be stopped. I don't care what the devil does. I don't care what everybody else does. Sister so-and-so may not like it. Brother Ratchet Jaw may not like it. Sister Bucket Mouth may not like it. My mind is set. I am going for it, glory to God." Well, amen. There must be somebody here by that name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look over in Mark chapter 5 real quick. Don't get quiet on me. It makes me think I have to slow down. Mark chapter 5. Hallelujah. Certain woman had an issue of blood. Certain woman. This is a true story. Certain woman had an issue of blood. And the Bible says that, you know, she went to the doctor. Spent all she had. Didn't get any better, but rather grew worse. I know some of those doctors. And then she said, when she heard about Jesus, which means somebody was talking. Somebody has some excitement about them. Somebody was telling them, "Hey, listen, I know you've been to the doctor and everything, but have you thought about Jesus?" Amen. Let me tell you, I was in a meeting over there in Columbia, Kentucky, and the Lord moved and healed such and such. So when she heard about Jesus, the Bible says she made up her mind that she was going to go touch the hem of his garment. And she had a sense of expectation, if I just touch his garment, I'll be made whole. And all the time she was going, she didn't change her confession. Now, I want you to understand, there was people all around her. It says she pushed through the press, the crowd. And as she was working her way through the crowd, you ever had to do that? You ever been somewhere you wanted to see something, and the crowd was there, and you kind of worked your way in? Pardon me, excuse me, you know. And everybody's looking at you like, "What do you think you're doing?" Oh, none of you are rude like that. I'll do it, glory to God. I'll try to get up close in front, glory to God. And so she was working her way through the crowd, and I bet you some of them were thinking, "Where do you think you're going?" But she wasn't being deterred by what the people were saying. She didn't care what anybody else thought about her. She had her mind made up. There was something pushing her forward. She had some expectancy. If he don't have to lay hands on me, he don't even have to prophesy to me. If I can just get close enough, then I can reach out and touch his garment. The very moment I touch him, I'm going to be whole, glory to God. Doesn't matter if anybody else gets healed. I'm going to be whole. It's what kept her going through hard times. Come on now. It's what kept her going when everybody else... Listen, there was a press, which is the crowd. There was a crowd around Jesus. Why weren't they excited? Didn't they have a sense of expectancy? Don't tell me there wasn't no sick folk in that crowd. Don't tell me there wasn't nobody in that crowd that needed some deliverance. Just needed a good word from the Lord. But yet they didn't have a sense of expectancy. They was doing the church thing. They were there because it was the popular thing to do. But she had a sense of expectancy about her. One day Jesus was sitting around with the boys and he said, "Fellas, who does people say that I am?" In other words, the popular opinion. What does the populace say about me? Who do they say that I am? And they begin to say, some say you're John the Baptist, come back, some Elijah or some other prophet. He said, "Well, never mind what the people say. Who do you say that I am? What's your opinion?" Because if you can rightly see who I am, it'll create an expectancy in you. If you can rightly see that I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, if you can rightly see that I am alive today and I change not, then you will begin to have a sense of expectancy that you're coming into the audience with the King and that He'll issue some decrees on your behalf and you can be made whole. Glory to God. Expectancy. One time I read that there was some guys that, you know, Jesus was coming to the house. And as he comes to the house, again, here's the crowd. There's a noise abroad that Jesus was in the house. And any time people begin to talk about Jesus being in the house, people come to see. If you want to know why the church don't grow, people ain't talking. Or they're talking the wrong stuff. Well, the service was too long, and they moved the piano onto the other side of the church. I don't like it. They scheduled a dinner and didn't even ask us if it was all right. And yeah, you keep on talking that, wonder why the church don't grow. Who want to come to that? But you start talking about, man, we was in church the other night, and the Holy Ghost began to move. I'm telling you, my hair stood up on the back of my neck. I tell you what, my suit moved. And people want to come see that, glory to God. Well, here he was. There was noise abroad. People was talking that Jesus was in the house. And there was a guy on a stretcher who couldn't get there because of the crowd. And so what do? They climb up on top of the roof and tear the roof off. When's the last time you tore the roof off anything?
Come on.
We used to say when we got together, we're going to blow the roof off. We need to blow the roof off, glory to God. You know, if you're sitting next to somebody that's nervous about you getting loud, move. And if you're worried about what they're going to think about you, close your eyes. Come on, just get excited about God. Do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember when you got baptized in the Holy Ghost? Do you remember those times He moved on your behalf? What happened? Used to hear this all the time in the church. They used to be on fire for God. I thought, who put the fire out? Huh? Who put it out? You used to be on fire for God. You know how you were. You couldn't. People, man, they wanted to get away from you because all you do is talk about Jesus. That's all you knew is Jesus this, Jesus that. Now you come together, you want to talk about what's happening at the mall, the latest movie, how the fish are biting, your golf game. Come on now. What happened to your love? What happened to us, glory to God? Who put our fire out? Who put it out, glory to God? I want you to identify him because I got some things to tell him. We need to be on fire for God. What about the woman that she went down to the well to get something to drink and Jesus was there. And Jesus begins to talk to her and says, give me something to drink first. And she's blown away. She says, how is it that you being a Jew talk to a Samaritan? In other words, how is it you being holy talk to a sinner? That ought to give you some people something to think about. If you're too holy to talk to somebody ain't right, you too holy. Amen, Brother Jim, or on me or something, glory to God. And Jesus begins to talk to her about, he said, if you knew who it is that's talking to you, you would ask him and he would give you living water.
Hallelujah.
And she says, well, she's still thinking in the natural like some of the church folk. How are you going to do that? You don't have nothing to draw off any water. And he's talking about the Holy Ghost. Go over to God. And he begins to say to her, woman, where's your husband? She says, I had five husbands and the man I'm living with now, six. Number of flesh, by the way. And that's the way a lot of people are, operating in the flesh. But when Jesus begins to talk to her, what does she do? She goes back to the town and she says, come see a man. In other words, she said, I've had an experience. And I want to invite you to my church. Come on. There was a guy there, he told me my whole life story. He read my mail. And I wanted you to come to church so you can get your mail read too. And it was such a sense of expectation in her, such an excitement, the whole town came out to see if it was true. Are you hearing me? You want great big camp meetings? Tell somebody. Talk to somebody, glory to God. Have that sense of expectancy. Now the Bible says this in the Gospel according to Hagin. Have faith in God. Because I say to you, whosoever say that his mountain be removed, be cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore, I say to you, when you stand praying, Believe that you receive, and you'll have it. Now, I'm not much on empty prayers. You know, if all we're going to do is get together and make a bunch of noise and not believe, why pray? If we're not going to believe that God hears us, if we're not going to believe that God's going to respond to us, then what are we doing going through the routine? Well, I'll tell you what we're doing. We're being religious. But he says this, when you stand praying, believe that you receive, and what? You shall have it. Now, if you really believe that you're going to receive, when we have a prayer meeting, everybody ought to be lined up to get in here. I'm going because I'm going to receive glory to God. When I got saved, I didn't know any better. I got saved, and that scripture was one of the first scriptures I heard preached, other than thou food, this night thy soul is required of you. Finances. I got saved for a financial message. But then I heard that. When you stand pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have it. Now, I was newbie in church. And I'm in a church where people have been there for years who lost their fire. They knew, still had amen and hallelujah, glory to God. They knew how to do the religious thing, but they lost their fire. And when it come time for prayer, I'd get up and go. And here, you know, I heard when you stand praying, believe you receive. When do you believe you receive it? When you stand praying. So when you're supposed to get it? And so I would go forth and I would keep the whole church until I knew that I had it. And it got to the place that when I got up, I see him start nudging one of them. There he goes again. We're going to be here for a while. But the thing of it was, they lost their fire. I had some fire. And I was receiving things from God. Are you hearing that? So when you stand praying, but then he also says this, and if you have ought against anybody, if there's any unforgiveness in your heart, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to forgive. Amen? And he says, if you don't forgive, you're not going to get it. Did you hear what I just said? If you don't forgive, you're not going to forgive. You're not going to get it. And during praise and worship here, that scripture came up in my heart, and I felt like this. There's some of you here tonight. You're not getting healed because you've not got things right. But I thought it was grace. It is grace. But God will not violate His word. And if you've been running around as a bucket mouth and a ratchet jaw, complaining about everything, you've got that Absalom spirit going in you. If I was pastor, here's what I do. Until you get it right, forget about getting healed. Forget about getting your finances in order. Forget about the blessings of God. Because if you bring your gift to God and at the altar, you remember, you have ought against your brother. Leave your gift there and go get it right first. And I'm preaching better than you're saying amen now. Get it right. You haven't got no sense of expectation because inside of you, you're thinking, how could God bless me? Because you know you become so ornery you can't even stand yourself. Well, amen. We did receive the offering already, didn't we? Have a sense of expectation. I don't want anything standing between me and God. I have a pastor friend. He made a comment one day. He said, he's come into our prayer meeting. He says, there is nothing between me and God. Nothing. I thought, man, that's a powerful statement. There's nothing between me and God. Nothing hindering the blessings of God in my life. Now listen to me. Does God love you? Are some of the promises yours? Are you receiving all the promises? Now I'm not talking by faith. Do you have them all working in your life? Then what's wrong? Is there areas I need to deal with? Do I have bitterness and unforgiveness in my life? This is not my notes, folks. If there's those areas in you, why do you let the devil get a victory in your life? Why do you keep giving him power over your life? Get it right. And let the blessings flow freely in your life. Hallelujah. If I have a sense of expectation that God's going to meet my need, I'm going to take care of everything I need to take care of so that He'll do it. Come on now. Now listen to me, it's your turn. And it's your time. This is a significant time and a significant season that God's trying to do something in the church. Because He said, listen to me, He said the glory of the Lord will what? Fill the earth. When you were made, when man was made, God took earth and fashioned it. The glory of the Lord will fill the earth. The glory of the Lord will fill the earth. See, your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. He's dwelling on the inside of you. And He wants to manifest Himself in fullness. But we limit Him because we don't make things right. I mean, just think about it. The God who slung the stars and the planets in the space and upholds them by the word of His power, or the power of His word. He upholds them there. He dwells on the inside of you. I mean, that's better than a spaghetti sauce. You know, everything you have need of is in there. He dwells on the inside of you. And this, He doesn't have any limitations. There's nothing He can't do. There's no sickness He can't heal. There's no disease He can't cure. There's nothing, no physical, mental, whatever it is, that He can't solve for you if you'll just get in the position and begin to have a sense of expectation that He'll do it for you.
That's right.
That's right. Y'all getting quiet now. Glory to God. So we've got to deal with our sense of expectancy. Get our expectancy back. Amen? Amen. See, because small expectations have small results. You know, I just wanted God just to bless me. Just bless me, Lord. All right, what do you want Him to do? Bless me. What do you mean bless you? Bless you how?
Yeah, really.
Somebody said, God bless you. I said, with what?
Yeah.
Come on, speak a blessing on me. Don't throw that genetic stuff at me. Speak a blessing.
Amen.
You want? If you say to me, God bless you, then say, God bless you with health, strength, wealth, something, glory to God. Release the blessing. Don't tease me with it. We don't understand the power we have, glory to God. And so we need to have great expectation. I remember years ago I laid hands on a guy's knee. He said that his knee was causing a lot of problems. And God healed his knee right away. And then we're sitting around the table. And about 30 minutes later, he said, I should have had you pray for the other knee. I said, what? I said, why didn't you ask for prayer? He said, well, I thought, you know, if God would just take care of it, I can. Man, cast that spirit of stupidity out of there. Have a sense of expectation. God told the prophet told a woman one time, she says, you know, the creditors are coming. They're going to repossess my children. And you know my husband before he died, he served you. He was a servant of God. And now they're coming to take everything away from me. What am I going to do? And the prophet said to you, what do you have in the house? Because see, don't lose your expectation. God's always giving you a way out. No temptation is taking you, but such is common with man. But with every temptation that comes, there's a way of escape that you might be able to bear it, glory to God. So there's always a strategy. There's God, nothing's took God by surprise. He already knows what He's going to do. And so He says to her, He says, go borrow some pots. Listen to these words. Borrow not a few. Don't have small expectations. Don't go next door and say, can I borrow a cup of sugar? No, get the whole bag over to God. And when you get the whole bag, ask them, say, is that all you got? Because you see, they begin to pour out in the pots. And when the pots were all full, then they all stopped. When there was no more room for expectation, the Spirit stopped flowing. And when we get so full of ourselves and so full of life, and I don't know what's wrong with the church, we think, okay, I got a little education. Now I'm dignified. Sick 'em, God. Or I've been serving the Lord a long time. I know the Word. And so, well, now I don't, now, because you know the Word, you don't have any expectation. Oh, dear me. Borrow pots. Borrow not a few. We talked about it last night, about the arrows. He said, you should have. You should have struck the ground more than once. You should have done. You should have. You should have prayed until you prayed through. Instead of getting through praying. Come on now. You should have praised your way through it. You should have ran the devil out of town, not just out of your home. You should have. And see, we don't give ourselves credit for who we are and whose we are. As my wife said, you know, get somebody to kick you in the pool. In Haggai, there was something going on in the land, and God said, you know, it was actually judgment, and they, you know, the farmers got to the place that they refused to sow their seed anymore because there was drought, and you know, the insects was eating everything up. And so what they did, they just began to take all their seed and they began to put it in the barn. And you know, if you have all your seed in the barn, you can't have a harvest.
That's right. That's right.
And the only reason you put your seed in the barn is because you lost your expectation. And God began to call them on it by the prophet. He says, is your seed yet in the barn? And he says, you know, I know that, you know, you went to sow and nothing happened. You went to sow and everything dried up. And I know that for a season it looked like I wasn't for you. But now you've entered into a new season. It's your time. You can do what you couldn't do before. Glory to God. So get your seed out of the barn. Begin to release your confessions again. Begin to release your prayers again. Begin to have a sense of expectation. I'm going to move on your behalf. He that observes the wind won't sow. Now, we can talk about money on that, but listen to me. If you observe the wind, if you observe everything that's going wrong in your life, then you will lose your sense of expectation. Get your mind off of everything that's going on. He's still God. And I'm going to tell you that John the Revelator said, I was in the Isle of Patmos for the testimony of the Lord, which means they couldn't shut me up. I was talking about Jesus. They couldn't shut me up, so they exiled me. And he put me out there, and he said, on the Lord's Day, on the day that everybody was worshiping Nero, I got caught up in the Spirit. I heard a voice saying, come up here. There's something I want to show you. He said, when I got to heaven, there was one sitting on a throne. He's still on the throne, folks. Glory to God. No matter what you've been going through, he's still on the throne, which means he's still in charge. Glory to God. Get your eyes off your problem. Get your eyes on your King. Glory to God. Have a sense of expectation. Yes, the devil may have had gave me a rough time today, last week, this year, whatever. But so what? I'm not giving him credit. I'm not going to boast on what the devil's done. You need to quit boasting on the devil and start boasting on God. Have a sense of expectation. Glory to God. Expect to be treated as a servant and... Don't expect to be treated as a servant, but expect to be treated as a son. Expect to be treated as a son. See, some of you got the servant mentality. You know, I'm just a servant. Yeah, we're all servants, but we're greater than servants. And if we think all we are is slaves, we don't deserve nothing. A servant doesn't deserve anything. He works for what he gets. And then he's thankful for what he gets because he knows he doesn't deserve it. But I'm not a servant. I'm a son. And when I approach the Lord, I approach Him as a son, expecting Him to treat me like a son. I was telling some people here recently, I said, you know, when I was growing up, my father, my real father, he wasn't nice. I woke up at different times with a gun to my head. And, you know, I eat hot peppers today because one day he made me, at about 5 years old, he made me sit and eat hot peppers. And every time I eat them now, I think somewhere back in the subconscious of my mind, I'm thinking, show you something. So I didn't know much about a father. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I just realized this recently. I didn't know much about a father. I had a stepdad that's real good. I still got a stepdad that's real good to me. But yet, he wasn't a father. You see what I'm saying? He wasn't my real father. He fathered me, but he wasn't my real father. Right. And so I didn't know about a real father. And all of a sudden, when I began to look at this thing, I saw that the Lord said, you know, at one place he said to the disciples, I am not going to call you servants no more. For henceforth, you're not my servants, you're my friends. And then they went from friends over into 1 John. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God. I'm driving down the road 5 o'clock in the morning. I say, Father, it's your son. And Father, I shouldn't have to tell you that I'm your son. You ought to know me. And Father, because I'm your son, I expect to be treated as a son. Come on now. I expect to be treated. I expect to be received as a son. Now you, I can just show you this. I'll show you how easy it is. Your pastors love you.
Amen.
But I've seen them when the grandbabies come in. Everything else stops. Come on now. See, those grandkids have a pull on their life, and it doesn't lessen how they feel for you, but those are their grandbabies. Are you hearing me? You're a son and daughter of the Most High God. And you ought to expect the same thing. Everything stops when you come before the throne. I mean, there's people falling on their face up there worshiping God and everything. But listen, everything stops when you come before the Lord, because you're His son, you're His daughter. You have His full attention, glory to God. And so I'm saying, Father, thank God I've got a father now. Huh? Thank God I've got a father. And don't tell me I've got to go to him as a servant. Don't tell me I've got to go to him like I don't belong there, that I'm an outcast, and I have to worry because I've blown it or I missed it. I can go boldly before the throne of grace, glory to God. I can go right up to him and say, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. And I expect an audience with God. I don't expect him to say, well, you're going to have to wait out here for about an hour and a half because I've got other people who got an appointment before you. I walk right into the throne room of God. And listen to me, all those that are around about me, they know that they better not get in my way because I'm His son. Some of you accuse the pastors all the time. I've heard it ever since I've been saved. Well, the pastors just treat their children better than they treat everybody else. Let me tell you something. You get in between me and my daddy, you better look out. Because he'll treat me better than he does everybody else. Well, amen. Or oh, me or something. You deserve the wind, you won't sow. Look at somebody and say, it's time for you to get rid of. Tell them, say, it's time for you to get rid of that grasshopper mentality. The spies went into the land to spy it out. God's already told them, said, I've given it to you, it's yours. Go check it out. It's yours. And they went in there, and they come back, and here's the report. It was just like you said. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Imagine that. God told the truth. Nevertheless, but there we saw the giants, and we were in our sight. Listen. Not we were in their sight. Not the giants saw us and they thought we were just pig squeaks. But we saw the giants. And then we looked at ourselves. And we began to assess ourselves rather than assess the Word of God. We began to see our lack rather than see His power. Come on. We began to see giants rather than see how great is our God. And so we became grasshoppers in our sight. And when we begin to think of ourselves that way, guess what? The enemy thought of us that way too. He's already won the fight. Well, amen. I don't know what time. Okay, it's time to quit. What?
Keep going.
Hallelujah. Job, remember Job says, the thing I feared the most came upon me. The thing I feared the most came upon me. Now, I'm not one of these guys that say Job brought the stuff on him. I'm saying that Job said, the worst thing that I could dread, the worst thing I could ever think about happening, happened to me. Now, some of you here have experienced things like that. The worst thing you could ever imagine happening to you has happened to you. And as a result, you lose your expectation. And then, to make matters worse, you get those Christians who begin to say, well, you must be in sin somewhere. Oh, that wouldn't have happened. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can identify them by their nuts. Flakes, nuts, granola. Come on. And we don't realize that God marches us out as champions. Because we are in a warfare, but listen, the battle, we're not the ones that are such in a battle. The battle was already fought.
Right.
You know? And you know where the battle is? You know where the battle is now? It's who do you say I am?
Exactly.
That's where the battle is. When you look at your problem, do you say the problem is bigger than I am? Do you see what you're going through is more powerful than who I am in your life? Come on now. How do you see it? How do you see it? So you have to deal with those fears and stuff. Well, what do I need to do? I'm glad you asked. Because we're going to make it through perilous times. Amen? Hard to deal with time. We're making it. I'm sorry. We're making it through perilous times. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You know, I've got my mind made up. It ain't taking me out. How's it going to take me out if God be for who can be against me? How's it going to take me out? I'm full of the Holy Ghost. How's it going to take me out? You say, well, that's just arrogance. No, that's fact. That's knowing who you are. Are you hearing that? And so the first thing we need to do is we need to get converted. Converted means get your stinking thinking right. That's what it means. When Peter left, you know, Peter had denied the Lord. He did what he said he would never do. He denied the Lord. And as a result of that, when the Lord was crucified, he got so full of self-pity and shame because he blew it that he decided, I'm going fishing. And the rest of them said, we'll go with you. And they went fishing. And Peter had his mind made up. He was resigning. That's it. I'm done. I messed up. And Jesus came to him. And Peter began to say, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you even like me? And he said, feed my sheep. Peter had his mind made. He was going to quit. But Jesus said, no. Resignation denied. Promotion granted.
Yeah.
And here's what Jesus said to him. When you are converted, strengthen the brethren. Because you can't strengthen anybody until you get your mind right. Come on, get what I want. I'm telling you, I serve a God, but he can do anything. How great is our God? Hallelujah. And then the next thing you know is I got migraine headache number 35, and I don't know. You got an Excedrin? Hallelujah. Resist being negative. Resist being it's you know, it takes just as much energy to be positive as it does being negative. I don't know why we have to be negative. Just resist it. And, you know, if you have to, train yourself to say something else. I worked with some guys one time that in a factory that when you got done in the factory, when you got done with your work, we had a place set aside that we made with cardboard boxes and everything. We'd go back there and play checkers and get paid for it. Wonderful job. And as we were doing it, I played one night or several nights with this one guy, and he would always use the phrase, GD. 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 I mean, everything was GD. And, you know, I thought, you know, I can't stand this. I just, you know, I'm going to have to say something. I can't stand this. So then I made up my mind. I sat down playing checkers, and I jumped him. He says, GD. I said, praise the Lord. A few minutes later, he said, GD. I said, thank you, Jesus. And, you know, it wasn't long. He says, I know I use that too much. I said, yes, you do. Sometimes you just got to get people stinking thinking right. And you got to get converted, glory to God. Change the way you think. God's not after you. God's not mad at you. God's not out to get you. God's not doing this to you. You've not messed up so bad that you're going through what you're going through because you failed and you missed it. No. God's already took all His wrath, all His judgment out on His Son. It's the devil. And sometimes it's just stupidity. If you run bare bottom through the snow and you get a cold, quit blaming the devil. Put some clothes on. And if you get flat tires on the way to church and it's because you've not rotated your tires and kept the air pressure up and all those wonderful things, and maybe you're trying to get 100,000 miles out of a 30,000 mile tire, don't say you're in spiritual warfare. Buy some tires. Quit being negative about everything. Glory to God. Renew your mind.
Amen.
Renew your mind. See, we got to get our thinking changed. We have been brought up to think the thoughts of church. Been brought up to think the thoughts of religion. And I don't care where you go to church at, Every church you go to has their own form of doctrine, has their own form of religion, and all they care about doing is making you more like them.
Yeah.
Well, not all of them. Mine don't. Theirs don't. Are you following what I'm saying, though? You'll get where you're just one of them. Well, I'm Pentecostal, which means what? I'm Baptist, which means what? I remember in the early days when I first got saved and came into this thing, that you know that everybody combed their hair like Copeland. Everybody was little Copenites. As if you combed your hair like him, that suddenly you would minister like him. But in the church, that's what happens is, rather than get our thoughts right and get renewed so that we can look into the book, as I said, as you look into the mirror, you're changed from glory to glory. From glory to glory. Now the problem is we've not looked in the book right. We looked in there and said, well, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is that true? Yes. But listen, when you come to Christ, there's a change that takes place. And I don't want to look and see what it was like before I came to Christ. I already know what it was like before I came to Christ. I was miserable. I was a sinner. But now that I've come to Christ, I want to see how He sees me. In the Old Testament, as they were going into the holy place, before they went in, they had the laver there. And as you bent over to wash yourself, you would see your reflection in the water. And it would remind you that you was a sinner. And you better get this offering in so that you can go into the presence of God because you're in trouble. Man, God sees all your sin. God sees all. But as you look in the New Testament, you look in here and you see God says, by His blood, glory to God, I'm saved, glory to God. I have right relationship with the Lord. I'm no longer a servant. I'm a son. Now, the problem is we forget what manner of man we are because we don't look in there often enough.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Am I doing all right? God be for us what? Now come on, if God be for us what? If God be for us what? Is the devil a who? Now, he's a creep. We have dominion over all things that creep upon the earth. He's a creep. But he falls in the who category. If God be for us, who can be against us? I'm telling you, we've got to quit building the devil up so much. Quit building him up. God be for us. Then watch your words. We've already talked a little bit about that. Watch your words. And then ask, seek, and knock. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on. I don't know what happened. We got into a thing, you know, we thought we were out of faith if we asked more than once. But I read my Bible and Jesus prayed 3 times in the garden. 3 times. I guess He didn't have any faith.
No.
But what it says, ask. And keep on asking is what it means in the Greek. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. What it means is you ask and you... All right, Lord, I'm asking you to do that. I know that you already want to do that. So now, Lord, every time I'm coming, I'm claiming. Lord, I thank you that you're doing it. I thank you it's happening in my life right now. That's you're asking. See, you're changing the way things are in your life. So you keep on asking, keep on seeking. And listen, pray in the Holy Ghost. I said, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray. I don't understand what's wrong with Pentecostal tongue-talking people that don't talk in tongues.
Amen.
See, I'm from the school of Paul. I thank God I pray more than y'all. He was from Kentucky. More than y'all. And you know what I've discovered is that if we don't start praying in the Spirit and giving ourselves to the Spirit, then we're going to begin to pray all kinds of wild prayers. We're going to begin to lose our hope and our faith and our sense of expectation, and we're not really going to believe God to do anything. And then, as I said last night, put your foot on something. Put your foot on. Everywhere the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given to you. All right, if all the promises of God are mine, if I'm already blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, huh? He's already given me all things that pertain to life and godliness. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus, which means this, everything
he's got is mine. Everything he's got is mine. See, my wife and I have a joint checking account. And you know what she got the right to do? She got a right to go up there and sign her name and draw it all out. Huh? I tried to do that thing, what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine, but it didn't work. Joint checking. But see, that's the way we think. We think what's mine is mine, what God is his. No, everything. We don't have to beg God for nothing. Just have a sense of expectancy. He wants to meet your need. He does. He wants to meet it. Amen? I got there. He wants to meet your need. And so perilous times will come. But listen to me. I had a woman in my church, in one of my first churches, or my second church, I guess. I had a woman in the church, and she used to stand up and she used to say this, "This too shall pass." This too shall pass. Hard times come, but hard times go. Amen? And you get knocked down. Righteous man get knocked down seven times, still gets up. Yep. Come on now. Yep. You're just like a Timex. You take a beating and keep on ticking.
Right.
Come on now. See, you don't have to give up because hard times are going. You don't have to worry about, well, what are we going to do? Listen, he can speak and send quail to you.
Yep.
He can give you what it is in the wilderness. That's manna. What it is.
Yep.
Not what is it, but what it is. That's what it is. Manna, angel food. He can just, I mean, you know, he can tell the ravens, go pick up some roadkill.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
And have you ever been on a street, you saw it rain on one side of the street and didn't rain on the other? Don't tell me God can't get you wet. Don't tell me he can't refresh you. He can't provide for you. He prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemy. When everything's drying up around about you, God has a way of meeting your need.
That's
go over to God.
Right.
Listen, he's the God of all provision, the
yes.
God of abundance. Amen. If you'll just put your faith in him and trust in him, he'll. You know, listen, the psalmist said it this way. He said it about Pastor Jerry. He said, the psalmist said, "I am young, but he is old." And he said, "But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging bread." Now, listen to me. I'm going to give you a newsflash. You're not so important that God's going to start failing with you. I mean, who do we think we are that suddenly God's going to start failing and he's going to do it with us? He's not failed in all his existence, and he's existed forever. And he's not going to fail for you. You're not that important that he's going to vacate his throne and just lose all his reputation so that he can fail for you. Think about it. He's the God of all glory. Amen. He will see you through. I said he will see you through, glory to God. He will see you through. Well, will I have to pray? Maybe. Will I have to stand in faith? Maybe. Huh? Will I have to miss a meal? You might need one. Come on now. But he'll not let you down. He'll not fail you. He'll not forsake you. Come on. He'll be there for you. He'll be there for you. Where's your sense of expectancy? Who put your fire out? Huh? We ought to be saying, "Burn, baby, burn. Burn, baby, burn." You know, but just wasn't too long ago they were saying, "Drill, baby, drill." No, burn, baby, burn. Burn, baby, burn. We ought, our prayer ought to be, "Light my fire, light my fire, light my fire." Come on, God, light my fire. And see, he can do it because on the day of Pentecost, cloven tongues of fire set upon them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Just a couple chapters later, they're in the upper room. And the room was shaken, and they're all filled again. What happened? They got a quart low. Yeah. Because see, as you're going through life and you're facing tough times, before you know it, you're getting swallowed up by the tough times and you forget where your help is. You forget where your strength is. And sometimes God's got to say, let me pull you back together in camp meeting. Because there I'm going to meet with you. There I'm going to light your fire again. I'm going to change the way you're thinking about your situation. I'm going to get your eyes off your problems and back on me. Glory to God. Are you hearing me? It's time to light your fire. Light your fire. I mean, you ought to be, you know, they ought to put warning signs on you.
Yeah.
Warning, highly combustible. Yeah. See, I'd done the river thing for a while, and I had a sign on me. It said, juicy. I'm wet, glory to God. I've been in the presence of God. You get close to me, you're going to get splattered on. Huh? When you walk in a room, people ought to take notice. Saul was head and shoulders taller than everybody else. People noticed him when he walked into a place. When you walk into a place, people ought to take notice of you. There's something different about you. I mean, the God of all glory dwells on the inside of you.
Amen.
Does that mean we never go through nothing? No, but if you're going through hell, don't stop.
Amen.
Just keep going, glory to God. You'll come out of it. You're victorious, glory to God.
Amen.
Remember, the devil can't stop you. You're born of the Spirit. You're born along by the Spirit of God. In order for you to be stopped, God has to be stopped.
That's right.
Y'all didn't hear that. There's more to you than what you realize. You're sons and daughters of God. Are you ready? Come on. You're sons and daughters of God. Don't get quiet on me now. Come on. You're sons of God and daughters of God. Pull on it, glory to God. Pull on it, glory to God. Halabasokoteyata. Yay, bakasotorete. See, God wants to do some things tonight. Come on now. God wants to do some things. Now, this is the tricky place. This is the time. This is when everybody begins. Where's my keys at? Let me get my Bible together. Where's my jacket? Let me get my shoes back on. We've got to get out of here and be the first one off the parking lot because God forbid I should be the third one off. And what if we have a service after a service? Hallelujah. So God wants to do something tonight. Anybody want God to do something? What's your expectancy? What are you really wanting? What are you expecting God to do? What is it you're expecting from God? Because God wants to meet you where your expectancy is. He said to them, be it unto you according to your faith. What are you expecting? It's me, oh me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. I'm expecting God. I'm expecting you to show up and move in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody expecting? Hallelujah. Anybody expecting? See, you're getting quiet on me just when I'm getting ready to minister. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. You gotta open yourself up and say, me, Lord, me. Speak to me, God. What do you got to say to me, God? Stir me up, God. Light my fire, Lord. Like my wife said, that the blind Bartimaeus sitting on the roadside, and he cried out. Where's our cry? It's me, Lord. I need it, God. I need you to speak to me, God. I need something from you tonight, Lord. I come, Lord, because they advertise him as a prophet. I don't believe he is, but I come to see. What are we expecting? And I heard the Lord say, this is a new season, brother. And God said, I'm going to begin to turn things around on your behalf. And the Lord said, there's going to be some doors that will begin to open you that had, up to this point, had not been able to open. And I said, see, like you just putting your shoulder to it, and you've been plowing, and you've been plowing, and you've been looking to see what God's going to do. And the Lord said, he's about to open some doors on you. He said, I'm enlarging your tent, and I'm stretching you out, said God. And the Lord said, even as I begin to do that, the Lord said, I'm going to begin to break the mold that men try to put on your life. But the Lord said, I've not called you to pattern you after other men and women of God, but the Lord said, I've called you to be a unique person on my behalf. And the Lord said, I'm going to begin to energize you and charge you with a new idea and a new thrust. So the Lord said, I'm going to begin to awaken even dreams in your life. The Lord said, I began to put a dream in your life even 6 years ago. And the Lord says, as I put that dream in your life, it seemed like nothing was coming about it. But the Lord said, I'm going to begin to move on you now, and I'm going to begin to cause it to take place. And the Lord said, I want you to begin to double up on your expectancy and your confession about the office that you've asked me for. the Lord says, I want you to begin to picture it even in your heart. Begin to picture it the way it's laid out. Because the Lord said, I'm going to exceed even that which you've asked for me. And the Lord said, I'm not just going to give you the office, but I'm going to give you some help to run the office, said God. But the Lord says, I'm going to begin to cause you to begin to be known in areas and cities and towns that you have not yet thought of. And the Lord said, I don't want you to begin to look just to nations, but I want you to look in this nation. For the Lord said, I'm going to begin to widen your scope, and I'm going to begin to cause you to have a vision like you've not seen before, said God. For the Lord said, this is a time and a season that I begin to release in your life, even a new thrust and a new direction, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And I also hear God saying that He's doing a supernatural thing concerning the family. For I never called you one that would have to be on the wayside by alone, but I'm going to begin to bring a coupling together, that it's going to be a family ministry type thing that's going to further thrust you in a magnitude that you've not yet been able to tap into. For God said, I'm not going to call one and leave the other one laid aside, but I'm causing a gathering of the family, a family ministry. I just see, man of God, where you're going to begin to mentor many. There will be many that you'll begin to pour into. And God says, you've been one that has remained humble. You've remained humble for me. And God says, I'm going to honor you in your humbleness. And I'm going to cause that gathering of many sons and daughters round about you that you'll begin to mentor and pour into. And God says, as you do, that's how the reproducing is going to begin to manifest and begin to happen. Because God says, as you pour into them and you release them, says it's like the sons of thunder going out. God said, many sons of thunder will be raised up underneath you. And I'm not talking just gender, amen? But many will be raised up. Many will be mentored and gone out. God says, and in that magnitude, many, many, many will be reached for the kingdom's sake, because you are about the kingdom, says
Hallelujah.
God. You are about
Hallelujah.
Kingdom business. So God says, know that I am orchestrating some things and I'm shifting some things concerning the family. Don't be surprised of what happens even over the next 3 months, says God. But no, I'm orchestrating it. I've got my hand on it, and it's going to be okay.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on. Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Create the atmosphere. Create the atmosphere. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Scott, I said something to you last night, but after I got home, the Lord told me I should have said something else. And that was this. I saw in the Spirit, I saw like the season of restoration is upon you. It was like everything just burned up and the wind just came and blew all the ashes away. And God said that you've not lost anything, but yet God said, I'm going to restore to you things that you've never even dreamed that I was going to bring back into your life. The Lord said that the blessings of God are about to be manifested in your life. And I've heard my brother keep saying it over and over, the blessings of the Lord that maketh rich and add no sorrow. The blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and add no sorrow. There's a blessing of God that He's going to begin to put some restoration in your life. What it looked like, the enemy was tearing everything apart. It looked like everything was going down the drain. It looked like everything was over. And it's just like, God, how do I start? How do I pick up the pieces and start from here? God says, you're coming into your season of restoration. I'm turning things around where it looked like the end. And circumstances have been screaming at you, it's over, it's over, and over. And the Lord said, nothing's over because you enter into a season of restoration.
Amen.
And I don't know what it is. Go over to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you going to do anything? You just...
Amen. This couple right here. What's your names right here? Uh-huh. Amen. Husband and wife. Love each other, like each other, all that good stuff. Amen. I just really see the fire and the anointing of God visiting you. I see the wind of God blowing in your house, even in the night seasons. God's going to begin to visit you in a very extreme way. For God said, there are dreams that I've placed within you, and it's almost as if it's just been dormant. You've been at a place where you thought, God, this is the best I can hope for, and this is just where it's at. And you've made the best of the season that you've been in, but God says, I'm going to begin to resurrect some things in your behalf supernaturally. I've seen your heart, and I've seen the tears, and nothing has ever gone unnoticed. For God says, I'm going to visit you, and I'm going to blow upon you afresh and a brand new, and you will be the fire of God in many, many lives. God says, you have suppressed things to the degree that it's been so painful that even the physical body has manifested even the stress. And God says, I am supernaturally, it's like I see God just coming in with a little pen and just relieving the pressure.
Hallelujah.
It's just been pressure. Amen. And it's not that things have just been horrible and bad, but it's not been what God has put in your heart. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And God says that the dream will live, and you will see
Hallelujah.
The fruitfulness of it. You will see the promises
Glory
of God fulfilled in your behalf. Amen. Night dreams
Hallelujah.
Are going to begin to happen.
So
man and woman of God, keep pen and paper close to
Hallelujah.
You. Amen. Because God's going to show you things, and it's almost going to be like a puzzle being put together. But God says, as you're faithful to write it out, I'm going to add to it, and I'm going to give you the full picture. Amen. There is a supernatural thing God is doing in family, and this is many of you need to grab this. God is doing something in families at this time like I've never seen before. Amen. Where he's gathering sons and daughters back to the mothers and fathers. Amen.
Hallelujah.
You need to grab that, Mama and Daddy.
Hallelujah.
There is
Hallelujah.
A gathering, amen, where God Glory. Is gathering the hearts of our sons and daughters, amen. And God, just know that God's got
Hallelujah.
It. Amen.
Hallelujah.
They are going to be okay.
Glory to God.
You
Glory
hear that?
To God.
They are going to be okay.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank
amen.
You, Lord.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
You
Hallelujah.
Need to grab that.
Glory
I'm telling you, we are seeing supernatural
Hallelujah.
Things happening in families.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Says you're trying too hard. You're just trying too hard. He wants to talk to you. It's all right. And he wants you to know it's all right. The things that you've gone through, it's all right. He's been aware of it. You've not blown it. You've not missed it. You've not come up short. His hand's still upon you. He's not given up on you. It's all right. And that's his word to you tonight. It's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's all right. You're not going down the tubes. He's not counted you out. It's all right. You're coming through it. You know, where it looked like everything was being done with, it's like everything went down the drain. You just look like, Lord, I'm just going through the motions. I don't know what to do, God. I'm trying my best. I'm trying hard, God. Can you see that I'm trying hard? Yes, he saw it, and he wants you to know you're all right. He's even as Peter was walking on the water, he began to sink, and he's began to sink. Jesus reached his hand out to him, and you felt like you were sinking, but the Lord's reaching his hand out to you. You're not going to sink. You're going to make it, glory
Amen.
To God. You're going to
yes,
make it. Do you
yes.
hear me? You're going to make it. I don't care what the enemy's been telling you. You're going to make it. It's all right, glory to God. Are you hearing that? It's all right. It's not going to be the way the enemy said. It's all right. You hear what I'm saying? It's all right. I don't know what it is, but it is all right. All right? All right. Glory
Amen.
To God. Hallelujah.
And even now, I've just come against that suicidal spirit that's tried to take you out prematurely. I bind that thing in the name of Jesus, and I say you will no longer torment her from this day forward. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for the peace of God ruling in her heart, in her mind, and in her emotions, causing a stability that she's never had in times past. I thank you for the anointing that breaks every yoke, destroys every bondage off of her from this day forward. I speak life. Woman of God, you will live, you will live, you will live.
Yeah.
You will not only live, but you will decree the word of the Lord. You will decree it from the mountain and even, yes, in the valley, says God. For I will raise you up with a mighty mouthpiece, that you will be one that will begin to speak the word of the Lord in great power and in authority. And you will see the shifting and the changes all around about you. But God says you will remain steady. You will remain steady. You will. I raised you up, says God.
Yeah.
I raised you up. I raised you up. Father, I thank you for
thank
what
you,
you're
Lord.
Doing, Father. I
thank
you.
Lord.
Oh, God, that she's come. She's come into her moment
yeah.
for such a time as this. Never the same, never the same, never the same.
Hallelujah.
From this day forward.
Hallelujah.
Never the same from this day
Glory.
Forward. Thank you, God.
Thank you,
you, God.
Thank you,
thank
Father.
You, Lord.
Thank
you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
It's all right.
I
Glory
gotta
to
go.
Go,
Ooh,
go,
glory.
Go.
Father, I thank
Hallelujah.
You, Lord. I just bind every
yeah.
demonic
Back
spirit
over a check
in the name of Jesus. Father, that has tried to take her out spiritually, mentally, physically.
Yeah.
I bind you
Back
have no place in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for this woman of God. I speak life over her.
Life.
I speak life to her mind. I speak life to her emotions. Everything that has been stripped and broken down, God, I thank you
yes.
for a recreative miracle
yes.
in the mind, Lord God. In the mind. I thank you for your manifested presence upon her, Lord God, that's going to change her from glory to glory. I speak life to her, Father God. I speak life to her in the name of Jesus. Honey, I'm telling you what? You will never be the same.
Never.
Look at me, honey. You will never be the same from this weekend.
Hallelujah.
Never be the same. Amen. Never the same. God is doing a supernatural thing for you because He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. Amen.
Hallelujah.
He loves you.
Hallelujah.
He loves you.
Glory to God.
Father, I thank you for your presence.
Glory to God.
I thank you for your presence,
Hallelujah.
Honor, Lord God.
Glory to God.
Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Father, for just wrapping her up in you. Wrapping her up in you. I thank you, Father, that she has a glorious future ahead of her. A glory. God, you said that you give her a future and a hope. God, that you cause her to succeed and have success all the days of her life.
Thank you, Lord.
All the days of her life.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Glory
thank
to
you, God.
God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. Father, I thank you for the anointing on the man of God. I speak an increase, Lord God. Father, I ask, Lord God, that you begin
Hallelujah.
To bust in the dams, Lord God. Father, that will supersede anything he's ever experienced and known of in days past. I thank you, Father God, for a fresh visitation of your glory upon his life, Lord. Man of God, I don't know if you've ever wrote anything, but God says you need to write. You need to write. And I don't know what all that means, but you need to write. There's some wisdom. There's some stability about you that is a supernatural thing that God's given you that the body of Christ needs. Amen. So you need to begin to ask the Lord, how do I go about writing? What is it you want me to write? Amen. Just simple
Hallelujah.
Principles.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory
thank you, Lord. See,
Glory
so many times,
Hallelujah.
People,
Hallelujah.
We put God in a box
Hallelujah.
And we think we got
to
have it all together
Glory
before
to
God.
God
could possibly do
Glory
anything.
God.
And God is saying, just start with
Hallelujah.
Where you're at and what you got.
Hallelujah.
And I'll add to it. Amen. The woman
Hallelujah.
With the little bottle of oil,
Hallelujah.
All God wanted was just what
Hallelujah.
She had.
Glory to God.
And because she was willing to give what she had, God multiplied it.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Just give him what you got.
Glory to God.
He'll cause an increase.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Several years ago, before they built this portion of the church, I was over the old building, and I was ministering one night. A storm came up. A storm came up just as I was getting ready to begin to prophesy. And the lights went out. So we grabbed some flashlight, turned the car lights on outside, and I kept on prophesying. Why? Because darkness can't put the light out.
Amen.
Now listen to me very carefully. Listen to me very carefully. About 2 years ago, a storm got released in this house.
Mm-hmm.
And they just kept on working. But just like before, the lights came on. And the lights are about to come back on again.
Amen.
You hear what I'm telling you? The lights are about to come back on again.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? God's about to light this house up.
Amen.
Get ready for it. I'm telling you, He's about to light it up.
Mm-hmm.
The darkness can't put the light out.
No,
today, Pastor Laverne said something to Jan about stand or something. And you know, you got to just make a stand or something. I don't know what it was. But when she did, Jan, I didn't even turn around. But I saw you like this. And like, you know, you got that attitude. You're looking at something like, you better know better. And I see that God is going to bring that tenacity back into your life. Because you've been there. It's been there. You've had that thing. Like, you know, you're going to do what? You said what?
Mm-hmm.
And I see God turning that thing back and heating that thing back up in your life. And it's like you've been... it's good to be back in church for a time, but and you know, because everything's been going on in your life. But I'm telling you, you've not lost anything. You've not come behind
That's
anything.
Right.
But you're going to begin to pick up some ground now. You're going to begin to see that there's a new strength and a new authority coming into your life. And you're not just going to be one that has authority in the natural things, but God's going to give you some authority in the realm of the Spirit. Because you've been harassed long enough. And now you're going to begin to see some things begin to change. And you're just going to get that cockiness about you. And every time that enemy begins to come up, you're just going to put that hand on the hip. My wife told me years ago, she said, if I put my hand on the hip, you know, you're in
I'm
trouble. And I see that happening. You're putting your hand on your hip. And it's like you put it on, you just kind of cock the hip out like, uh-huh, yeah, I'm about to let loose on you.
And that's what's about to happen. You're about to let loose on the enemy, and things are going to change on your behalf. Glory
yes.
to God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory, glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What's your name? Joyce? Joyce, get her good, she said.
Good.
Hallelujah. I don't know what good means. Hallelujah. Joyce, I hear that the Lord's saying this is your time and your season, that He's going to release the wellsprings of joy in your life, that you're going to be just be overtaken with joy. It's like you've gone through enough things now, and it's just like everything tried to rob your joy, everything tried to snuff out your life, everything tried to take your blessings and everything. You know, it's just like, okay, I've just got to go through the motions. I've just got to make the best of things. I've just got to survive. And the Lord said, I'm moving you out of survival mode. And you're going to begin to come into a mode now that you're beginning to realize that you're victorious. And the joy of the Lord is about to overtake you. You're going to be, like I said earlier, juicy. I mean, if people are going to get around about you. And listen, Joyce, listen to me. There's a song God's going to begin to release out of your spirit. And see, it's been bottled up long enough. And I hear the Lord saying, don't let the enemy steal your song. You just begin to sing in the face of adversity. And listen, if things have gone wrong around about you, some people have done some things they ought not done. But listen to me, God saw everything, and He's going to begin to restore you. He's restoring you from the inside out. You're going to begin to see that you're going to have a new idea and a new thought about who you are and whose you are. You're not the doormat. You're not been made to step on, glory to God. You've not been made to stand in the back of the crowd. But God said, I'm going to put you right up front. I'm going to put you on display. And my power, my glory is going to begin to be released in you. You're going to open your mouth and you're going to speak, and people are going to take notice of what you have to say. You're not going to be timid and shy. You're not going to be able to use the excuse, I'm backward. No, you're not going to be backward. You're not going to be shy. You've got a story to tell. And God said, I'm going to begin to move on you, and you're going to tell your story, and people are going to listen. And the Lord says, as you begin to tell your story, I'm going to move in the midst of what's going on, and you're going to be amazed at the healing and restoration that takes place because you told your story, says the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did I get her good? Okay. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You get to go home.
I get to go home. Okay. Help me, Lord. Back here. Yeah, you. Glory to God. Who are you? What's your name? Bradley. Hallelujah. He's just sitting back here like, ugh. And I hear the Lord saying this is a time and a season He's going to begin to move on your behalf. The Lord said He's solidifying some things for you. It's been like everything's right there, but just can't drop in. It's almost like I see somebody like pulling the slot machine, you know, and everything has to drop down in its slots. And when it does, you hit the jackpot. You're about to hit the jackpot in the things of God. The things that have been on hold, it can't seem to come together, suddenly are going to begin to fall into place and begin to fall into focus. And God's going to begin to do some things on your behalf. I see Him moving in the realm of a family and finances, listen, and business. God's going to begin to cause some things to take place on your behalf that's going to begin to revolutionize the way you live and the way you begin to see yourself. God says He's going to begin to raise you up, and as He raises you up, He's going to bring stability in your life. Now, I don't know what all that means. I just know this. It's things are not going to stay the way they are. Things are about to get different. Okay. Things are about to get hairy for you. I don't know if you understand that terminology or not, but it's about to get hairy for you. In other words, things are getting out of kilter. Things are going to get out of whack. It's not going to be the norm anymore. Get ready, because you're going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
And so are some people around about you as well. It's like there's like a hypnotic mode that's been around. It's like, okay, we're just going to do this because this is what we do. We just kind of go through the motion. We just kind of do our thing. But God said, you're not just going to do your thing. You're going to do my thing. And things are going to change all around about you. Watch and see what God does.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Bradley, I see you as an entrepreneur. God's going to give you business. Amen. And listen, you don't have to be even concerned about the resources, because if God says it's so, then He's going to back it. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So you need to be really serious of thinking about what type of business the Lord is wanting you to do.
Glory.
And then what's necessary in the steps of going about it, and trust God each step of the way. Amen. Because as you pursue it, it's going to bring much provision, not only for you, but for many, many others, because you've got a spirit of excellence about you. You've also have the ability that you want to see other people's advance. And God says, this is why I can trust you with the ability to be an entrepreneur.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And as I always like to throw this on, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Listen, I love these guys here. Got a good spirit about them. And I heard the Lord saying, you've been walking like in a fog. And it's not been a good fog, but it's because of circumstances and situations. And you've just been going through the motion. But the Lord said, I'm about to change the fog. You'll be in the fog, but it's the favor of God. And not the fog of confusion, not the fog of everything that's going on, you know, all the pressure and everything. Everything's about to turn around. You've come to your season of turnarounds. It's your time of turnarounds. Hallelujah. 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 I don't know how many we're supposed to prophesy to, so hallelujah. Anybody want it?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And the Lord said He's going to make you excitable.
Hot dog,
Hallelujah. Tell me your name again.
Lee Turner.
Lee Turner. Hallelujah. Anybody like Lee Turner? Should I say something good to her?
Yes.
What should I say?
Blessed.
I heard it. I heard it. Whatever the Lord tells you to say. Whatever the Lord tells you to say. How come He ain't telling you to say nothing?
I love you.
How much do you love me? Hallelujah. Lee, I heard the Lord saying this is a new season for you. For the Lord, now listen to me. It's a new season for you. And the Lord says you've been going through some situations and it's just been like the pressure. I see almost like the hand got put down on your head. It's like just a pressure just being pushed down, pushed down, pushed down, pushed down. And it's like the enemy's trying to steal all your joy. And that's a, boy, that's a job. But he's been trying. And pressures have been coming into your life. And it's like over the last, I'd say like 6 years, it's just, things have just been pressuring in on you. And it's like the enemy just want to box you in. It's just everything that could go wrong has been going wrong. And it's like the people look at you and think, well, she's unlost her mind. That's the way she acts, the way she does. But it's not. It's because God's been sustaining you. God's been keeping you because the joy of the Lord has been your strength. But the Lord said He's going to begin to release the pressure. And you're going to begin to see that things will begin to get a little easier on you. And the Lord said He's going to take the sorrow out of your heart because of the sorrow of what you've lost. And the sorrow is what's been robbed from you. It's just been overwhelming to you. And even though you put on a good front, it's just been more than you can bear. And God said from this night forth, He's relieving the sorrow out of your heart, and you're going to see the release, and there's going to be a reason now for celebration. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Take that, devil. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's all good, isn't it? Hallelujah. And He's saying, what are you doing? Saying, leave me alone. I mean, what are you doing? What's your name? Johnny? Hallelujah. I don't have to ask anybody want God to say something to Johnny because I know somebody with us. But Johnny, even last night, you know, I felt sorry for you because I felt like, Johnny, you're a fish out of water. And it's like you're thinking, man, what am I doing here? And that's a good question. And because that's what I asked tonight. What are you doing here? Glory to God. But see, you're here by divine appointment. The Lord said, I set you up. But the Lord said, I've got more in store for your life than what you ever dared to dream. And the Lord says, I want you to get rid of the attitude that you're just unproductive and you don't really matter, that you just can just kind of float through things. But the Lord said, I've never called you to float through things. I never called you to be on the outside looking in. But the Lord said, I'm going to bring you right into the thick of the game. And the Lord said, I'm going to move you out of your comfort zone. And the Lord says, as I move you out of your comfort zone, I'm going to begin to show myself to you in ways you never know. The Lord said, I'm going to revolutionize some things in your life. The Lord said, I'm going to begin to pluck you up out of some situations and some circumstances. And the Lord said, I'm going to begin to shake some things off of you. And the Lord says, as you begin to come through, it's not going
going to be comfortable at first, because you're beginning to say, not only what am I doing here, but Lord, what are you doing to me? And the Lord says, you'll go through your season, but the Lord says it's a season that's going to bring a brokenness into your life. But the Lord says as it brings a brokenness in your life, it's also going to bring a refreshing into your life. And the Lord says, you're coming through some things, and as you come through, I'm going to give you a new vision for what I have for your future. But the Lord says, you're no longer going to be allowed to live from day to day and just get by the best you can. But the Lord said, I'm going to put a vision in your heart for the future. And the Lord says, you're not going to have to begin to second guess what I've got planned for you and what's in store for you. And the Lord says, you're not going to have to stand back. The Lord said, I'm going to do a healing even in your life, because there's some situations when people begin to talk and bring up stories and everything, it wounds you and hurts you, and you have to stand back and you just try to bear it the best you can. But the Lord said, no, I'm going to heal that, and you're not going to have to deal with that any longer. The Lord said, I'm going to bring a release into your life, and the stories now are going to begin to be about you and rather than about everybody else. And you'll see what I'm talking about. I think you already know what I'm talking about, but you're going to begin to see it. God says, I'm turning things around. And the Lord says, quit second guessing it. Quit wondering whether or not, all right, am I going to go there? Am I going to do this? Yeah, you're going to go there and you're going to do it. Just get ready for it. He's going to go there and he's going to do it. Glory to God. So just get ready for it. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
And God help you. Hallelujah.
Danny and Debbie, I just hear God say that the fire of God is going to visit you once again. Because the enemy has been relentless trying to just stop you and set you down. And God says, I've not relinquished the anointing and the call that's upon your life. I'm not changing my mind. But you're in a season now because you've chose to position yourself in spite of. God says the fire of God is going to begin to visit you. And as it visits you, I'm telling you, Danny, things in your body will begin to come back in order. Amen. Your heart, every organ in your body will come back in order. Amen. Because God is launching the two of you out in a greater magnitude. You have barely skimmed the surface of what God has invested inside of the two of you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
There's something God has placed inside of you that you have such compassion for people that other people overlook. Amen.
Amen.
And it hasn't gone unnoticed. And
Hallelujah.
God's just, I'm telling you, there's going to be a fresh visit
Hallelujah.
Of the Holy Ghost on your life.
Glory
again.
To God.
Amen. You all think you've seen stuff. You haven't seen anything yet with them. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory
Get ready.
To God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen, the Lord has used me a lot for women that couldn't have babies. You know, I've laid hands on them decree things, decree life to the wombs, and suddenly they get pregnant. But I always tell the husband, now you have to do your part. There's no immaculate conceptions. You have to do your part. And the reason I'm saying that is, when you get a word, you have to do your part. You take the word and you begin to act like it's true. You begin to confess it. You begin to thank God for it. You begin to remind yourself of it. And if there's any instructions in that word, you begin to do them. Amen? Like you begin to tell your story. You begin to sing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You begin to look at business. You begin to do what you need to do. You begin to knock on doors, whatever it is. You do your part. Because there won't be an immaculate conception. You have to do your part. You have to act like the word's true. Amen? And you'll get to the place, if you do that, then when I prophesied or spoke life to one woman, and she became pregnant. And a couple of years later, she was at my church again, and she came up for prayer, and her husband jumped up off the row and said, no! I thought, it won't make any difference. I can decree it all day long, but if you're not going to do your part. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got anybody? Hallelujah. You all done?
Do you have one for her?
Do I have one? Let me see. Hallelujah. What's your name?
Sherry.
Sherry? Hallelujah. Sherry, the Lord says, even today as you begin to make preparations for the things I have for you, the Lord says you've opened up your vision. You begin to open up and dare to dream about your life in the years ahead. And the Lord says, I'm not going to let your dreams go unnoticed, or I'm not going to let you be frustrated about your dreams. For the Lord said, I've gone before and I've prepared the way on your behalf. And the Lord said, even as I've done that, I begin to put some things in order and some things in alignment for you. And the Lord says, it's been like you've been going uphill over and over and over again. It looked like there was never never going to get to the place that God had prepared for you. But the Lord says that He's going to begin to make your way smooth and make your way even. And you're going to begin to be like that one. What's that train? I think I can. You're changing your attitude about things. You're not going to complain about the travel anymore, but you're going to begin to have an understanding. I'm getting over this thing and I'm going to my destination, and God has a plan and God has a future for me. And the Lord says He's going to begin to reveal it. I hear the Lord saying He's writing anew upon the pages of your heart, because the past is over with. The things that you've gone through have come to an end. Now God's releasing a new page in your life, and you're going to begin to see that God begins to release life and strength to you. And listen, I don't care what anybody else has said to you that will try to rob your hope and rob your dream. What they had to say wasn't from God. I'm telling you by the Spirit of the living God that He's about to rearrange your life, and He's about to put some things in order for you. And what seemed like hard and what seemed like an impossibility, God's changing. And the report that others have said, God says, I'm going to give you my report. I'm turning things around on your behalf, and you're going to begin to see. The Lord says you're going to begin to have a new joy that begin to overtake you. And the Lord says, I'm going to begin to touch you in a such a way that there's a new strength and a healing being released in your life. And that the enemy has come in and tried to oppress you and suppress you and rob you of all your joy. And he's just giving you the right to live, and that's all He's doing. And the Lord says, I'm taking off the restraints and the restrictions, and you are going to begin to experience life to its fullness. Amen. Hallelujah. I hate the devil. No, I said I hate the devil. I should have got an amen out of that at least. Or me too or something. Something. Hallelujah. 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 Okay, she's praising the Lord. I thought she raised her hand for me first, but that's all right. Hallelujah. It's June and Jerry. Well, ain't no sense me giving a word. I know the whole story now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't have that happen too much. No, don't get me, get them. Hallelujah. Well, you may as well receive it. I'm going to give it to you anyway. Even last night, I heard the Lord saying, I'm doing a new thing on your behalf. And the Lord said, I don't want you to get locked in to any one thing. The Lord says, you've looked and you thought, okay, the promised land. But the Lord said, no, I'm your promised land. The Lord said, don't you get locked in on any one thing, because the Lord said, I'm about to do something in your midst. And the Lord said, the favor of your God is about to be manifested in your life. And you're about to see the hand of God begin to be released for you. And the Lord says, He's going to break the back of lack. And I don't know if there's lack in your life, but He's going to break the back of lack. And you're going to begin to see the hand of God, because God's a God of good and plenty. Good and plenty. And the Lord says that it's His rule and His law that those who labor must first eat of the fruit of it. And the Lord says, you've labored and you've done what I've asked you to do. Now I'm going to cause you to eat the fruit of it. And where the enemies come in and try to rob you of your joy and your expectation and your health and your strength, the Lord says, I'm turning the tables on the enemy, and you're going to see now the wellspring of salvation begin to spring up in your life. And the Lord says that what the report has been over your life, the Lord says, I'm changing the report. Now hear me, I'm changing the report, because the enemy has caused others to begin to respond and say that he's taking you out and he's cutting you off and this is the end of a chapter in your life. And the Lord says, no, it's not the end of anything. It's the beginning of something fresh and something new. And the Lord said, I'm going to move on your behalf. And the Lord says, I will not disappoint you, nor will you come up short in any area. Glory to God. Now what's your name? Pat. Pat says, the Lord says, it's time for you to grow up. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, but Pat, she'll receive it, glory to God. I hear the Lord saying this is a new day in your life as well. The Lord said He's bringing some fortitude and stick-to-ness in your life, where it seemed like you've just been going through some things and one day you're strong and the next day you're not. And the Lord said, but He's going to make a stick-to-ness in you. You're going to begin to have a tenacity in you. You're not going to stumble around. Your feet are going to be sure and steadfast. And the Lord says, you're not going to have to worry and be concerned about what's going to happen to you. You're not going to fall apart. Now, I don't know what... I'm just telling you, you're not going to fall apart. And you need to get that down in your spirit. The Lord says, I am your strength. And I'm going to show you through. And I'm going to begin to make myself known to you in ways you have not yet known. And the Lord says, visitations will come in your presence. The Lord said, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to speak to you. And I'm going to show myself strong on your behalf. And the Lord says, even the things that you've kind of rolled off and you just kind of put away because it was too painful to you to even to try to hold on to anymore. God said, I'm going to move in those areas. And I'm going to begin to show you ways to bridge the gap. And I'm going to put some things together on your behalf. And the Lord said, this is a package deal because I'm going to release my goodness and my strength in your life. The Lord says, you're not going to have to struggle or strive for it. The Lord says, I'm going to show you that I can bring you through and I can cause you to stand, says the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, amen. Well, praise the Lord. Come on. Y'all got quiet on me. Glory to God. All right. Well, it's 9:30 and camp meeting's officially over. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 4:30 in Hawaii, though. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God's good. Amen. Hallelujah. Huh?
Better than we know.
Better than we know. He's a good God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Huh? Huh? Would you talk? Do you have your hand up? Or is you just saluting me? Oh, so you gave up? You lost your sense of expectation? Command now me, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, you're going to run through the troop and leap over the wall because the restrictions that the age and the enemy is trying to put on you are being broken off of your life. For this is a new day and a new season. God said, I'm going to begin to visit you with new strength and new determination. The Lord says that even as you set yourself in your heart and in your mind to be servants and to come alongside and to do the things that others would not do, the Lord said, I'm going to do some things that you've not been able to do on your behalf as well. The Lord said, I'm going to begin to uncap the resources on your behalf, and you're going to begin to see that the resources that you need are suddenly are going to begin to appear. The Lord said, I'm going to cause men to give unto your bosom. You're going to begin to see the hand of God begin to be demonstrated in your life. And the Lord says, even as the enemies come along and try to bring you down, try to make you think, well, this is just something I've got to go through because of my age. And the Lord says, no, you're not going to have to go through anything. The Lord says, a new strength coming into your body. And the Lord said, I'm going to raise you up, and you're going to begin to have a new pep in your step, and you're going to begin to see that you're coming up another rung on the ladder. You're not going to set back, and you're not going to be overlooked or overnoticed. But the Lord said, I'm going to put you right into the spotlight because the Lord said, I put my hand on you, and the Lord said, I put a heart in you that's big as gold. And the Lord says, I'm going to begin to cause that heart to be released in you, and you're going to begin to see, said God, that I'm going to bring some others around about you, and you're going to begin to impart my goodness and my kindness into their life. For this is a new day. The Lord says, you've not come behind, you're not lacking in anything, but you're right on time. It's your time and it's your turn. Amen. 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 Well, amen. Amen.
Amen. I got Mom and Daddy's permission. Amen. Will the two of you just come here a minute?
Come and see here. Now you want to boss somebody? Come here.
Amen. Glory to God. Just sit, the two of you, just sit right
there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. At least you get to sit.
Yes. Now, I don't know if you heard the word of the Lord, but the word of the Lord was that He was going to cause men to give to them.
Uh-oh.
Amen.
Correct.
So you've got an opportunity to act on the word of the Lord right now. And I want you to ask God, God, what do I need to sow into their life? Because it's not just about them. But it's also what's going to come back to you as you respond to the word of the Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So we're going to give. We're going to sow into your lives.
Hallelujah.
Because we believe the word of the Lord.
No
Amen.
Embarrassment here, glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We receive, Amen. Glory to God.
So as you have your gift, I want you to just
if you're writing a check, 100 spelled T-H-O-U-S-A-N-D.
Just put it in their hands or put it on the floor in Hallelujah. Front of them. Come on.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God.
Thank you, God.
Somebody come up here hilariously.
Hallelujah.
Woohoo. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, what are y'all expecting when you come to do this? You naming your seat or anything?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Glory, glory.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
I got 20. It's your birthday money.
I don't care. They need to have it. Give it to them. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Watch this, brother. Watch this.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Sokotele babo
kobo bose. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory.
Mm-hmm.
Glory, glory. Hallelujah.
I know some of you do not know a lot about Edwin and Cheryl, but they've got such servant's hearts.
Ha ha, devil.
And if you've ever been with Edwin in at the men's meeting, you know, every area of their lives, they give and they give. And I know that in the past year or so, they've really been limited because their income was cut. And they had to literally decide where they wanted to go. And they were limited on how much they could come to church and everything because of gas and you know, and all this kind of stuff. But I want to tell you this, and I know I don't have to, and she's not doing it because for glory. But since, sometime last fall, Cheryl came up to me, and she said, Pastor Laverne, I want you to know that I'm going to clean those bathrooms, and I'm going to mop that kitchen floor, and I'll be here every week to get it done for the weekend, because I don't want you doing it. And she just comes and laughs and has a good time and does it and doesn't say a word. And I'm not doing this. I'm just telling you that they've got servants' hearts, and this is God's blessing upon you to get that vehicle, to get that stuff done that you got it in your heart to do. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. God's good all the time, and all the time God is good.
I want you to listen up and listen up real good. I know you got to go. It's time to go. But Sunday night, we're going to take an offering for your pastors. If you cannot be here Sunday night, be here anyway. 40 years of allowing what you saw tonight has been going on in their ministry. And how many? 31 years right here. The reason I'm going ahead and telling you, I was hesitant to do it, but I want you to right now, as believers and as members of this church, begin to start believing God right now for the seed you need to sow in that offering.
Amen.
I think they'll take an offering for the camp meeting first, and then when I get up to preach, I'm going to take an offering. And right now, start right now believing God. The Bible says that He puts seed in the hand of the sower. This offering for your pastors should be the largest offering this church has ever taken in 31 years. If you have to go home and sell something, do it. Whatever you got to do to get what you need to put in their hands. Now, we're going to bless them. And as I said, and this will never happen again, I forgot my checkbook. So you got more coming when I get home. That's going to happen for sure. And because it's my seed, and I get to receive off of it. Hallelujah. I want you blessed, but I got something coming back from it. That's what I'm trying to get to you. So if you want to bless your pastors, whatever movie you're going to, cancel it. Whatever else it is you got to do on Sunday night, cancel it. Because there's going to be an offering taken here for them. But my best opinion, the testimony that I'm going to give you Sunday night about what God did for me that got rid of about $35,000 worth of debt where I was given into a man of God's life and didn't even know I was going to till I got there, how God remedied that in my life, He may very well do the exact same thing for you. This will be an opportunity, number one, to honor the gift that's in front of you. Number two, it's an opportunity for you to sow so that you'll have a harvest. So whatever the enemy tries to get in your way to not be here Sunday night to give in that offering, you need to black his eyes right now, write the check right now, whatever you got to do in the name of Jesus. But be here Sunday night. And then whatever he's already received some gifts from what I understand. Whatever he's already received, we'll add it all together and give God the glory. Because they're givers. They'll give off of it. Hallelujah. So between now and Sunday night, whatever time it is right now, and Sunday night at what time am I preaching? I get this time's got me all messed up. 6 o'clock. Between now and that time, start using your faith for seed to sow. I sold a pocket watch one time to give into a minister's life. The Holy Ghost spoke to me, and I ran to the pawn shop just as fast as I could with a pocket watch to get rid of it, to get something into a man of God's life that needed it. The Bible says you have to purpose to give. Decide in your heart. I'm not going to decide for you. He's not going to decide for you. Nobody needs to tell you but God. So start asking right now what you need to do for 40 years of service. I've been doing it, 20 years, whatever? 40 years of faithful, not giving up, walking through heart attacks, floods, troubles, whatever they've done. Most of you all know what they've walked through. So when we leave here Sunday night, we want them blessed and honored. You can respect somebody with a thank you card, but if you really want to honor somebody, put some substance to it. Put something to it. Something that's going to cost you. We should send thank you cards. We should sing happy birthday. We should do all those things. But I'm talking about substance. If your best is $5, bring it. If your best is $5,000, bring it. If God wants to stretch you, if you're thinking $100, you better, and He says $500, you better throw $500 in the pot. And I'll tell you the story Sunday night of how God set me free from $35,000 worth of debt, supernaturally. And He did it away through giving that I didn't even know was going to come. So don't you miss the testimony. Don't you miss the offering. I hope you come and hear me and whoever else is going to preach. I hope you enjoy that. But the most important thing Sunday night, the most important thing Sunday night is you get here and you first honor God and then you honor these servants with an offering. It's all through the Word. I could preach all night on it. We're not going to get into that. It's too late. But I want you to make sure you let nothing get in the way of that offering. Nothing. In Jesus' name. I love y'all. Amen.
checks to you or to the church.
All right. I agree with her. Be here anyway, but I agree with her. If you're writing a check for that offering, make it to the church. Again, now, Sunday night there'll be an offering for the camp meeting, but the offering I want you to give in and the one I'm giving in when I get home is the second offering, is the one I'm going to take for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Y'all stand. Bow your heads for a moment. You've experienced a lot of things here tonight. You've heard things. You've seen things. I don't know the condition of everybody's heart, but I believe that most people are right with the Lord, but I don't want to overlook the possibility that there might be one here that's been caught up in all of the things of religion, but you know in your heart that you've never really given your heart and life to Jesus Christ. And with no one looking around, is there anybody here tonight that needs to lift your hand and say, I need to really, truly give my heart and life tonight to Jesus Christ? Is there anyone? Heavenly Father, as we leave here, let us leave, Lord God, realizing we are in your presence and that your Spirit will be in us and with us, because you promised, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Lord, that's pretty much total commitment. I pray, Lord God, that our commitment to you will be in like kind. Your blessings, Lord God, upon your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me announce one thing. If you would like a copy of the services on CD, they are available. You need to get your name on the list that this young lady, Rebecca,